You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
It's been a long-running debate, and so too another long-running issue, rural broadband, which has been highlighted by my next guest. Social Justice Ireland says economic growth alone is not enough to tackle the country's problems. They say the government gives it priority over all other areas, and more action is needed so we have a society where people have rights, including better internet access. It's hitting out at the fact that over a quarter of a million children are living in poverty and that 700,000 are on hospital waiting lists. Head of Social Justice Ireland is Father Sean Healy. Father Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.
Glad to be here as always.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with anything that I've said in my introduction as I outline your own point of view, but it does strike me that you've been making it for quite some time now and that you continue to feel that you need to make it.
Well, I think more and more people are beginning to realise that what we're saying is true, that we are now one of the richest countries in the world. When you look at per capita income, we're up there almost at the very top, very close to it. Now, most people in Ireland wouldn't believe that they're anywhere close to being the richest people in the world or anywhere else for that matter. An awful lot of people in Ireland are struggling. Like, there's 780,000 people at risk of poverty. A quarter of a million of those are kids, and 100,000 of them actually have a job, but the job isn't actually getting them out of poverty. So, and that's only one issue. You raised the issue about broadband. There's an awful lot of people across rural Ireland, over 500,000 homes without quality broadband, and so on. There's a lot of things we can put down there. So the point at issue, I suppose, that we keep making is that it is nonsense to believe that if you grow the economy, everything else will follow, that the growth will trickle down to everybody.
But considering that we have come from the deepest and darkest economic crash in the history of the state only a very few short years ago, is rebuilding the economy, does that not have to be job number one?
No, it doesn't. And that's the problem. And that's the problem from the very beginning, even of the recovery. Because with focusing on the economy only, we left the infrastructure of the economy, like social housing and public transport and broadband, we left those things on hold, if you like. And likewise, we left services like healthcare, for example, on hold as well. And the result is we have the income at one level, but actually it's meaningless to large numbers of people because they have a very poor health service or access to it, or they're on trolleys in hospitals, or they're on waiting lists. 700,000 people plus, more than 700,000, waiting for healthcare appointments. They're registered, but they haven't got to the appointment yet.
But to address all of those issues takes money that many would argue the state simply hasn't had in recent years.
Well, you see, it depends on what you're trying to do. Like, basically, I suppose, what we would say is, you have to have a vibrant economy. We'd always agree with that. But we're also saying that you need to have quality services and quality the services like health and education and so on. You need quality infrastructure like public transport and broadband and so on. And you'd also need just taxation, fair taxation. And we'd also argue that you'd need two other things: real participation in shaping the decisions that affect you, so in other words, that your voice is heard. And finally, sustainability, not just in the environment, that's very important, sustainability in the environment, but also sustainability in the economy, that what we do is sustainable economically and what we do in the society is sustainable socially. So those five things need to be done, but they need to be done simultaneously. For example, if we had put the investment in on social housing in the last 8, 9, 10 years, we wouldn't have a housing crisis today. If we had been doing investing in broadband from 2012, when we started talking about it, there wouldn't be 500,000 households in rural Ireland today without quality broadband.
That?
We could, of course, because that's the whole issue about the balance that's required. We put a huge amount of money into incentivizing different things in the economy, but in actual fact, we didn't actually decide to stand back and look at what exactly we're trying to do here. And at the end of the day, we need to develop a balanced society, a society that promotes well-being for everybody. There's no point about being one of the fastest growing economies in the world, one of the largest economies in the world in the sense of per capita, and there's no point in being one of the richest groups in the world if most people in the society aren't benefiting from it. Like, almost 10 years ago, we published a detailed analysis of the lack of investment that was going on in Ireland. It was a comparison between Ireland and everywhere else in Europe. And we were, by far, the lowest country with the lowest investment in infrastructure like social housing and broadband and so on. Now, at the time, we pointed out that that was bad enough. But what really scared us was that if Ireland at that time doubled its investment level, we'd still be the lowest in Europe. Now, how is it that everybody else can actually put the investment in before they actually fall apart? So we're in a situation now where we're kind of falling apart at all. So I'll give you another example. Healthcare, something I'd say most of your people in the Midwest have a lot of views on.
A lot of issues down his neck of the woods, absolutely.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right. Now let's take a look at a very simple thing. Government has now is spending a huge amount of money looking after trolleys and looking after various urgent emergencies. What we're saying is they're spending their time tackling the symptoms of a problem. What's required to stop people having to go to accident emergency all the time? We need to have primary care centres that are open and are open most hours, where people, that becomes the kind of one-stop shop for everything you need, and there's access to services there. That stops people from having to go to accident emergency and reduces the number of people on trolleys dramatically, and also reduces the pressure on beds in hospitals and so on, which are far more costly than primary care. That involves, however, investing in the primary care networks and making them part of the central part of your healthcare system. That's what the Sláinte Care report, is recommending.
And we've talked about that often. And this is the part that somewhat bemuses me in relation to what you're saying. And it's not to disagree with anything that you said, Father Sean, but if a government was to come along and solve issues with regards to rural broadband and make it available, or with regards to housing and homelessness, or with regards to health, that would be a major win. And it would be brilliant for people's lives, but even, and I hate to be a cynic on this, it would be brilliant electorally. They would be very popular as a result of it. So when you're making these calls, they make sense. A lot of people will agree with you. Why is it not being tackled to the extent that you and many others would like, however?
I'm always bemused by that, actually, because the very point you're making is a point that we make constantly to political parties, that if they sort of solved or resolved some of these, they'd be heroes, and it would benefit them obviously electorally.
Yes.
Now, the point from our perspective is, I think that the government is so focused on tackling the immediate symptom of whatever is happening, the thing that's right in front of their face, that they don't give the time that's required to stepping back, looking at the overall system that we're dealing with and saying, okay, what do we need to do to ensure that we're not going to have this problem or that problem 5 years from now, that we deal with the healthcare problems and the trolleys, or that we deal with the housing and the waiting lists for social housing, or that we deal with the broadband issue and ensure that everybody has quality broadband. If they had, for example, acted when we talked about the housing issue 8-9 years ago, there wouldn't be a housing crisis today. We wouldn't have the homelessness crisis today. And if you think, take a scandal. I know this isn't in the Midwest, but it's the biggest city in the country, Dublin.
Sure.
They have their budget now is just on €1 billion, and 12% of that is going on homeless services. Now that is an outright disgrace, because in a way that's a symptom of a bigger problem, that there aren't houses there, that there isn't accommodation there. And it isn't as if people haven't been saying this for a long time and arguing. I mean, if I might mention Father Harry Bohan in Clare, you know, I mean, years and years he has been going on about the importance of housing and building housing and getting access for people to housing in all sorts of different ways. And yet the situation we find ourselves in is that we have a huge demand for housing today, and the supply is nowhere near the demand, and that's driving up prices, making some people homeless, and all sorts of other things going on at the same time.
It brings me back again to my first question. Mm-hmm. You said that if people acted years ago, then the problems wouldn't be as bad now. What's to say that in a few years' time, you and I won't be having the same conversations again?
Well, one of the things I detect that's happening is that more and more Irish people are beginning to realise that putting all your eggs in the economy basket and forgetting about society is not a good move. And that I think more
and
more
politicians not need to realise that.
That's the issue. What I would be hoping is that more and more people would pressurise their politicians. One thing about politicians in Ireland is that they're fairly close to people, to the public generally, and they hear very clearly what people say. And if people say this to them, they will hear it and hopefully act on it. Because if they don't, we're back to repeating this thing over and over again to a point. Remember, what's happening is that the problems are getting bigger as the years go by. Like, we have a much bigger housing problem today and a housing shortage than we had for decades, for example. It is worse, the situation has got, despite huge efforts by housing associations and all sorts of other groupings who are interested in this kind of work and have been at it for years. Mm-hmm. We're still stuck with huge amounts of huge undersupply in that area, and as a result, because the supply doesn't keep anywhere close to the demand, the price keeps going up, and the result is that we're moving very quickly from a society where the vast majority of people own their own house by the time they're retired to a situation where the vast majority will never own a house. They'll be renting, and that changes all sorts of other things as people get older, because our pension system is based, for example, on the assumption that the vast majority of people will actually own their house, not have to pay rent for it when they retire.
And we know that there's an ageing population, which is putting pressures on that from the other side as well.
Exactly.
I suggest you have a lot of work for a long number of years to do yet, Father John.
I suspect that's probably the story, all right. But one of the things I think that I always kind of have hope that I have a great belief in ordinary people and their common sense. And I mean, the more they look at these kinds of things, and a very simple thing, if everybody in the country just went after the symptoms of problems and didn't tackle the causes, they'd be in trouble permanently. And I think most people know that. They know that they have to step back and make long-range decisions, whether it's about the education of their kids, or whether it's about their accommodation, or whether it's about whatever the issues happen to be. And I think they do that normally. When they stand back and look at this situation, they say, politicians should be doing this for the country as well. It's about time governments start attacking the causes of the problems and addressing them in an integrated way, not just saying, let's put the money into growing the economy and everything else will follow. That simply doesn't happen.
I need to leave it there. But Father Sean Healy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you,
this morning.
Gavin. Thank you.
All the very best. You take care. Father Sean Healy of Social Justice Ireland, with some very interesting points, I suggest. Would love your thoughts at home. Are these the sort of issues you raise with your councillors and your TDs? The broader issues, do you want them to tackle issues of social justice, or are we as a country a little bit... I was going to say nationalistic, but it's much more local than that. Are we focused solely on the issues on our own doorstep, on our own roads, or whatever it may be? 086 1800 964. When we are back in a couple of minutes, we have a call out for twins. Do stay tuned.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.